to DFM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper and Capital Flow, Ireland's fastest growing specialist business lender, capitalflow.ie.
Ian Guider of the Business Post is with us for our daily business update. Ian, we did, after 5 o'clock, have a look with Dan O'Brien and Colin McQuilla at the figures today on unemployment and also the government finances for the end of March. But for those who missed it, could you take us through the key numbers, please, and the impact of those?
Yeah, good evening, Matt. And the numbers were as sobering as Dan O'Brien laid them out. We were looking at the end of March, so this doesn't include all of the people in construction sites who have been told to stay at home this week. So this is just till the end of last week. We now have on the live register a total of 513,000 workers. The vast majority of those people, 283,000 people, are people who've been let go in the last 4 weeks and who are claiming the pandemic unemployment payment. That's the €350 a week the Department of Social Protection are paying. There's also a further 25,000 people whose wages are being supported by the government. So they're the people who are getting €410 a week through that scheme. So that brings up the total number of the live register. It stood at a rout. The unemployment rate, so these are, we're not comparing like with like, but just to give people an example, the unemployment rate last month stood at 4.5%, so pretty much full unemployment in the country. For anybody who wanted a job, there pretty much was a job there. If you were to put that 513,000 people into the unemployment register, into the employment mix, that's over 17%, Matt. And that doesn't include all people in the last week as a result of the further restrictions put in place last Friday night at Taoiseach. So you think of all of those construction workers who are non-essential, and that's pretty much everybody. There's about 140,000 people working in construction. Most of them will be joining the live register. And then there was all the other people who were told as well that you are not an essential service. So you're looking at tens of thousands of people over the next couple of weeks who will either be claiming the pandemic unemployment payment or whose companies are availing of this income support scheme. And I think at this stage, you know, we set a record today, Matt. I don't think I thought I'd see in this country, we'd see unemployment peak the way it did compared to the last recession. We could be getting up above 20% easily in the next couple of weeks, if not higher. And all of that has a cost to the exchequer as well.
Indeed, because it's a double whammy. There's going to be another contraction in government revenues next month, a dramatic contraction when it comes to payroll taxes on top of VAT and all the other things. Corporation tax as well may take a hit. And then on the other side, all of these payments that the government actually has to make means its bill goes up enormously.
It does. And I was listening in to the Department of Finance press conference today by Pascal Donoghue and his senior officials, John McCartney, the chief economist, and Robert Waugh from the Department of Public Expenditure. Most of those figures put out today don't include the economic hit of people not spending. So the actual revenues from payroll taxes were actually up compared to last year. Bizarrely, they were up by around 1%. The VAT figure was down, not because of people reducing their spending, but because of the January and February payments being deferred by revenue commissioners. Now, added to the fact that for the last four and a half, 5 weeks, there's been very little spending going on because retailers have been shut. And then add in the hit to the exchequer for people not paying income taxes because they have no jobs. So tax revenues are going to slump. The Department of Public Expenditure and Reform are saying, well, look, the increase in the Department of Health's budget and the increase to the Department of Social Protection's budget, that's going to increase. So the deficit figure for this year could be horrific. You heard from Niall in the 6 o'clock news there that the figure is $16 billion. Matt, that's looking very, very conservative at this stage. We've had forecasts out from economists in KBC Bank talking about a figure of $25 or $30 billion. Tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow morning, we'll get figures from the central bank about its estimates, and I would imagine that they will probably correlate. So that figure given this afternoon by the Department of Finance and Pascal Donoghue, $16 billion, Matt, I think double it. And if things don't get back to normal, if the lockdown continues or if we have a series of rolling restrictions on what's going, you can then start multiplying that figure even further. I know these are staggering figures, and when you think of what we had 10, 12 years ago, they're even worse than that. The hope is these will be a short-term impact to both the revenue figure in terms of what the government collects if more people get back into employment, and also what it spends as it has to subsidize wages.
Okay, I see the revenue as well, though, has been sending material to small firms today to try and make it easier for them to claim their entitlements.
Yeah, and there was a lot of uncertainty in the last couple of days. I know certain tax practitioners and certain legal firms were not making clients nervous, but were just expressing some fears that they had about if people were signing up to these schemes, whether you'd be signing up to, well, are you insolvent, are you trading recklessly? So what revenue have tried to do today is to say, look, we realise there are small firms out there who have payments issues, so come forward, send in your tax returns online now for the next couple of months. You don't have to make a payment, just make an estimate of what you may have to pay, and we'll speak to you later on. So they're talking about that for March and April in the next couple of weeks, won't you? So just make your return, but don't pay it. You won't be charged any interest penalties. And also make your March and April employment, your PAYE, employer's liability, just make an estimate of what it could be, so therefore we can talk about future payments down the line, or payments perhaps that are written off. I'd imagine revenue don't want to say that right now because they won't want people to take advantage of it. But also they try to do things such as processing refunds fairly quickly, processing payments. There are people who are entitled to tax credits. So for companies who are entitled to the research and development tax credit, they're being processed fairly quickly. So revenue, while they will never tell anybody not to make a payment or a return, they are trying to say to companies out there, and particularly SMEs who face cash flow difficulties, submit the return, but don't make the payment, and then approach us and we'll speak about what we can do for you.
AIB took an awful lot of flack from a lot of customers for charging quarterly fees out of their accounts earlier this week. They've reacted to that in what way?
Yeah, for small firms out there, for small and medium-sized firms that were going to have quarterly charges applied, they are being deferred until September, and when they are applied in September, they'll be spread out again over a period of 3 months so that companies aren't hit with huge account fees. Now, I know for many personal customers, some people complain about the level of charges, but you think for businesses out there that do face much higher charges, both account maintenance, all of the transactions, direct debits, payments in, payments out, cash handling fees, all of these bills mount up for SMEs. So instead of applying them from the 31st of March, they'll be deferred until September. And when they are applied to accounts in September, they will be deferred. They will be paid over a number of months and not straight away. So that's just further assistance for SMEs. We know that comes on the back of businesses being told to approach banks about forbearance measures, about getting temporary payment breaks on their loans out there, and also applying for overdrafts. So it's just a further sign that the banks out there, while they do tend to be painted as bad actors in many circumstances, they have been a little bit more proactive during this crisis of getting out there and getting customers, getting help to customers, particularly the more vulnerable people out there, because the larger businesses will have cash reserves and will be able to withstand trading difficulties for a number of months, whereas many SMEs live from month to month. So even a drop of 1 month payments could actually help a number of companies out there.
Okay, now to finish, one last thing. I just saw on the Irish Times website an hour ago, Core Media, which is one of the biggest advertising agencies in the country, suggesting that about €300 million of advertising will not be spent this year by companies, which is having a major knock-on effect for all media firms, including, it has to be said, Today FM as part of the Communicore Group, where we've all taken major pay cuts as well, between 10 and 25% for the next 3 months. The owner of Communicore, Dennis O'Brien, has a big issue to deal with as well in the Caribbean. We mentioned it earlier this week in relation to bonds he is due to repay at Digicel. And there have been developments in relation to that, the negotiations he's having with those bondholders. Can you briefly summarise those, please?
Yes, well, Dennis O'Brien's Digicel, which operates in 30 countries in the Caribbean and South Pacific, it owes its bondholders $7 billion as a result of investing in broadband, communications, TV and mobile phone services. The company's earnings, which are pretty flat, so its profits are stagnant for the last number of months. He is seeking to reduce that $7 billion of debt down to $5.3 billion. So he's seeking an effective write-off from his bondholders of $1.7 billion. Well, why would they agree? Well, it puts the company on a much more sustainable financial footing. It reduces the interest bill on its debt, so therefore it's more likely to be able to repay its loans over the next couple of years. It gives him breathing space to rebuild the profitability of the company. He is investing about $50 million of his own money into Digicel, so that money will go to bondholders to sweeten the deal. The company's bondholders, if they agree to the write-off, they will swap their existing bonds for new bonds in the company, which they would hope that if there's a reduced level of debt, he's more likely to be able to repay it. It takes all the pressure off the company in the next couple of years. This will take a hell of a lot of negotiations over the next couple of weeks. It is a difficult time in bond markets. Many investors will be suffering, so perhaps being given a bit more certainty by Digicel might encourage them to take up this deal, but there will be a lot of negotiations between now and the next couple of weeks
before it all pans out. Ian Guider, Markets Editor of the Business Post, thank you very much for joining us.
Today FM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper and Capital Flow, Ireland's fastest growing specialist business lender, capitalflow.ie.